Good morning, and welcome to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. I'm so glad that you're all here today, whether you're watching us virtually or you're going to attend service live. I just want to say, first of all, I'm Pastor Rod Hank, and happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And I'm so thankful that you're with us today. We're going to begin our worship today the way that we always do, especially on this day, by passing God's peace to each other. So, the peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's take a moment to share that peace with the people around us. We continue with our thanksgiving for baptism. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Raised from the dead by the resurrection life we share in Christ, let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We thank you, risen Christ, for these waters where you make us new, leading us from death to life, from tears to joy. We bless you, risen Christ, that your spirit comes to us in the grace-filled waters of rebirth, like rain to our thirsting earth, like streams that relieve our souls, like cups of cool water shared with strangers. Now we ask that you breathe your peace on our church when we hide in fear. Clothe us with your mercy and forgiveness. Send us companions on our journey of faith as we share your life. Make us one, risen Christ. Cleanse our hearts. Shower us with life. To you be given all praise with the Holy Spirit in the glory of God the Father, now and forever. Amen. Let us sing together our opening hymn, Jesus Christ is Risen Today.
Jesus Christ is risen today. Oh, triumph and glory day, alleluia. Who did once upon the cross, alleluia, suffer to redeem our loss, alleluia. Hymns of praise and
today's first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 to 43. Peter crosses the immense religious and social boundary that separates Jews from Gentiles in order to proclaim the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, so that God's forgiveness in Jesus' name would reach out to all people. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Our responsive psalm is Psalm 118, verses 1 through 2 and 14 through 24. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever. Let Israel now declare, God's mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter. I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. The core of the Christian faith and Paul's preaching is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As the crucified and risen Christ appeared to the earliest of his followers, so we experience the presence of the risen one in the preaching of this faith. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe.
Continue with the gospel reading. This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue with the children's sermon. Good morning, boys and girls. Hey, I'm so glad that you're here today because it's such a special day in the church. It is Easter. It's the day when we celebrate that Jesus has been raised from the dead. As a matter of fact, we have something special we say on this day. I say, "He is risen," and you say, "He is risen indeed, alleluia." Should we do it? Let's do it. Here we go. He is risen. He is risen indeed, alleluia. Good job. I know that you played along at home, but I have something else to show you. Something that maybe you've never noticed before here in our church, but I think it's important that you understand. Over here, we have this big honking candle, right? It's bigger than all the other candles in the church. And it is our Christ candle. It reminds us that Jesus is risen from the dead, that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that Jesus was dead and now he's alive. And we light this candle right here at the top with fire every time. Now listen, you shouldn't try this at home. But I have a trick that we can do with fire. And this is magic, so do not try it because fire is hot. Here we go. Ready?
No!
Are you in slow motion, Lindsay?
What are you doing? You can't put your hand in a candle?
Well, no, not normally. But I know a trick, first of all.
Okay, you said that, but it doesn't seem safe.
Well, it's not safe. Don't try it at home. But listen, I can do it today because it's magic, I promise.
Okay,
listen.
All right.
So this candle, this light, is the light of Jesus. That's what we say.
Sure, that's why it's Christ's candle.
So in the Bible, it says that Jesus came into this world, and what he brought was life.
Right.
And life became the light to the world. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, he brought light into the world, and I'm going to grab some of that light right
no,
now.
No, wait.
Ha, ha, ha.
Okay.
Look at that.
What's happening here? I didn't sign up for this.
Well, Jesus said he is the light, but he also said this light lives inside of us. So.
Oh. Okay. You're just doing so many unsafe things. I can't allow
this. It's delicious.
Okay.
I feel full of life today, Lindsay, because Jesus is raised from the dead.
Okay, that is.
But it's not just for me. It's it's for you too.
Wait. Ready? What? Okay. What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna throw it to you.
No,
it's for you.
I'm not ready. I don't know. What do I
Come
do?
Come on,
with
ready?
That?
One, two, three, catch. You got it. You got it right there.
Okay.
Very good. See, because the light that came into the world is the life of Jesus, and it's for me and it's for you. And here, throw it back real quick. Throw it back real quick. Just get it. Come on. Thank you.
Okay.
Look. I put it in your ear. All right. Yeah.
Doesn't just feel any different, but.
Well, take it out. Just take it out of your ear.
Okay.
There you go. So, this light, it lives inside of us because we have the hope of Jesus inside of us that he was raised from the dead. And we take that light and we share it with the whole world. Isn't that cool?
I'm not going to lie to you, Pastor Rod.
Yeah.
It is pretty cool. This makes me feel like an X-Man.
Right. Well, you are a little bit. So.
All right. So if I have it, because it's right here in my hands, and it's my job, it's our job to share it.
Yeah.
What's the best way to do that?
Well, she put it inside, right? Because really, it's just a trick, and the light lives inside of our hearts.
It's not that
All
bad.
You do is you tell other people that Jesus is raised from the dead, and everyone who believes in him will live again too.
That really is great news.
It is. Why don't you pray us out today, Linz?
All right. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how incredible is it? You're alive. And not only that, you're alive in us. Thank you for bringing the light and the life into this world so that we can go and share it with everyone that we meet. Keep us shining bright in your holy, holy name. We love you so much. And all God's children said,
Amen. All right.
Cool. Well, all right. You guys want to see it? It's like, it's right in here.
Okay.
You guys want to see it?
All right.
It's like,
No, it's not. Goodbye, everybody. Happy Easter. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So, I've told you this before. My mom loves Facebook. Last week, she was messaging on Facebook Messenger with Pastor Bob. Pastor Bob, he's the retired pastor from our home congregation, Calvary Lutheran Church in Sebula, Iowa. Sebula is my hometown, and yes, it's the only island city in all of Iowa. Dan Turner thinks I'm making this up, but I am not. Sebula is real. Anyway, Pastor Bob said some really nice things about me to my mom, which of course she immediately copied and messaged on to me. And honestly, his kind words do mean the world to me. Because he was my first mentor. Because he's a role model, a friend, a brother in Christ. He actually kind of saved me in those weird dadless teenage years that I had. He gave me an example and an idea of how to be a good man. And unconsciously, I think, I even model my preaching after what I learned from him. At any rate, in this conversation with Pastor Bob, he had the nerve to tell my mom that he was still waiting for an invitation to come out here to Colorado to come and stay at our house, which is absolutely ridiculous. Like Janet said, the invitation has been a standing, open-ended invitation. I told my mom, you tell Pastor Bob, you tell him that we have a doormat out in front of our house that has one word on it. It says, welcome. It does not say welcome except for Pastor Bob. She told him, he laughed. Well, despite what the screen says, that's not the end of the story. There's more. But I don't want to tell you yet. You have to wait. The story is not done. This Easter gospel lesson from the Gospel of St. Mark chapter 16 is by far my favorite account of the Easter story, the story of the resurrection of Jesus. It has everything you want in your normal Easter story. It has Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. And these women are going to the tomb, but they're worried because they're coming to anoint the body of Jesus with spices. They were anxious because they knew they weren't strong enough to roll the stone away, just like I wouldn't be strong enough and you wouldn't be strong enough to move that stone all by yourself from in front of the tomb. Well, when they arrived, it was early morning. The sun had just popped up over the horizon. They went down to the tomb, but to their complete shock and surprise, the stone had already been moved. The tomb, this grave, was wide open, and they wondered, just like we would wonder, what does this mean? Is this good? Is this bad? They didn't know, and I hate to say this, but you remember how bad things were in the last couple days for them. In their minds, it was totally possible that the Roman soldiers had broken into the tomb and ransacked it and desecrated the body of Jesus. On the other hand, it was also possible that some religious fanatic, some zealots, had broken into the tomb and stole his body to make a statement against the Roman government. The women didn't know. But then, as they went into the tomb, there was a young man dressed in white. He was sitting there inside the tomb off to the right-hand side, which was totally freaky because they weren't expecting to see anybody else in this place of the dead, only the body of Jesus. So they were immediately afraid. Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be if you were going around these graves of somebody you loved and the body was missing and somebody you didn't know was sitting in there? Wouldn't you just start to get a little bit upset? The young man was all dressed in white, and he said to them, "I know you're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who has been crucified, but he has been raised. He's not here. Now go and tell the disciples to meet Jesus in Galilee." Now we get to the part I like, my favorite part. Seriously, to me, it's one of the best parts of the whole Bible. According to the Gospel of Mark, the women went out, ran away, seized with terror and amazement, and they said nothing. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The end. Amen.
Hold it, Grandpa. You read that wrong. She doesn't marry Humperdinck. She marries Wesley. Just sure of it. After all that Wesley did for her, if she didn't marry him, it wouldn't be fair.
Well, who says life is fair? Where is that written? Life isn't always fair.
I'm telling you, you're messing up the story. Now get it right.
Do you want me to go on with this?
Yes.
All right, then. No more interruptions.
See, the reason I love this version is because it's wrong. That is not how the story ends. I don't care. I don't care if Mark stopped writing. I don't care if these women didn't tell the disciples. I don't care if Jesus doesn't even show up in Galilee like this angel dude promised them. Because where I stand from this vantage point in the history of this world, I know this is not the end of the story. You know this is not the end of the story. It's almost like the author of the gospel is challenging us. He's saying, well, that's it, folks. Go on home. There's nothing to see here. And then he's waiting. He's waiting for us to object. He's waiting for us to fight back. He's waiting for us to say, no, that is not okay. That is not how this story ends. And I'm not going to let it end this way. There has to be more. So we have a name for that idea describing the situation. You know, that despite what we are currently experiencing or seeing, we know that there's something more. That there's more to the story, that there's something at work within, around, underneath our current reality, that God is at work making something new, making the ending that God has promised, making life out of death, making more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever hope for. You know what we call that? We call it faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The woman ran away and said nothing to anyone. I call BS, which stands for bologna sauce, right? I know that's not how the story ends. Because in the first reading from the book of Acts, there's a story about Peter. You remember him, right? The one who denied Christ three times before the rooster crowed. The one who on the one hand totally turned his back on Jesus, his friend whom he loved. But on the other hand, loved Jesus so much that he couldn't keep quiet in the days after his resurrection. Not now, not after the resurrection. It's the same guy who's now standing up and preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And he's telling the story that he knows to be absolutely true. He's telling it to people who don't know. To the Gentiles, the people who weren't part of the promise of God. He was expanding the gospel throughout the world. The gospel was spreading in the hearts of brand new people. And I know that's not even how the story ends, because there's more. Because we're here. Because you're at home. And you're gathered around either in person or around a television, but you are gathered together with all of us in your heart and your mind. And we're saying these words. We're saying, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I know it's not the end of the story. Because as long as we are living and breathing and moving, we have the potential to proclaim Christ through our words and deeds to this world. The reason the author of the Gospel of Mark didn't finish the story is because it wasn't done yet. There's more to come. God is still writing the story. And now it's our turn. It's up to us, you and me, and all who have come to believe in Jesus Christ, and that he has been raised from the dead and defeated the power of sin and death and opened up a way for us to be reconciled to God. Well, it's up to us to finish this story. So that's why I need to say this today. It's been hard this past year, and I don't know if you heard this or not, but 2020 was not great. It wasn't even good. Some people would say it's a sucking, swirling vortex of despair because we've lost so many people that we love. We've witnessed hatred and fighting like we haven't seen in a very long time. We live in a country and in a world that is just so severely divided by politics and self-righteous pride. We've heard people around us get so angry and so discouraged that we're worried about them. We're worried about their mental well-being. We've seen businesses close, people lose jobs. People lose hope. But of all people, we, the people of God, we who call ourselves Christians, we should know that this is not the end of the story. We are still here. We're still moving and breathing. We're still proclaiming Christ through our words and deeds. We are not lost. We are not done. We have not been abandoned. And we will not be discouraged from what God has called us to be. We are not the first people of God to face major obstacles in our lives. We will not be the last to have to fight for our faith and for the hope that lives inside of us. We are witnesses. We are proclaimers. We are the people who know this story, who know that even though it seems like everything is completely hopeless, it is not. God is still God, and the story is not done. Not yet. Which reminds me, I didn't finish the story that I started at the beginning of this sermon. So Pastor Bob, my mentor, my friend, my brother in Christ, he died this Monday, unexpectedly, in the afternoon. He went to sleep in a chair and he didn't wake up. He was only 68. We are devastated and heartbroken. I am heartbroken. However, I also know, partly because of all the things that he taught me, and partly because we're supposed to be ready to give an accounting for the hope that lives inside of us, I can stand before you today and I can say, I know that this story is not done. I know that his Redeemer lives, and in his own flesh and with his own eyes, he will see his Savior. And I know that Christ has been raised from the dead. And I know that because he lives, even though we die, we will live too, just like him. I know the story does not end this way. It ends with new hope and new life and new love. It ends just the way that God wants it to end. So my good friends in Christ, in all hope and faith, with all the sincerity of my heart I have today, I say to you, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll continue with the hymn of the day. Together on this day, confessing our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Alive in the risen Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, let us bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear our prayers and answer out of his steadfast love for us. Praise to you, Almighty God, for your power revealed in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you fill your church with the power of your love that is stronger than death. Send us to tell the good news wherever death holds sway, and help us to proclaim that the story is not done. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, praise to you for your life at work in the resurrection. We ask that you fill all of creation with your life. Bring it to blossom and flourish. Use it to remind us of your persistent grace. And cultivate within us a care for everything that you have made. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, praise to you for the peace made possible through the resurrection. We ask that you fill all the nations of this world with your peace. Draw together all people of our nation, of all nations and all languages, and reveal to us new possibilities and inspire new beginnings and help us to write a new story of unity and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, praise to you for the hope of the resurrection. Fill all in need with hope. Those who are sick, afraid, or confused. Those who are suffering. Those who are dying. Those who grieve. Assure all of us of your promises of new life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, praise to you for the joy of your resurrection. Fill this church with joy and multiply that joy so that we share it within our homes and in our places of work and even out into the community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray this all in the hope of new life in Christ. We raise our prayers to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offering. Let's take a moment just to thank God for the hope that lives inside of us. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary. It's our complete duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus the Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself for us to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with the earth and the sea and all the creatures, with the angels and the archangels, the cherubim and the seraphim, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and earth and for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea and leading your people through the wilderness to the promised land flowing with milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and the deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and the resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Holy Spirit, which has been poured out on all people. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And Lord, with your holy ones of all time and places, with earth and its creatures, with sun, moon, and stars, we praise you, O God. Blessed Holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. We join together our hearts and our minds as we pray together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the body of Christ given for you. And this is the blood of Christ shed for you. I invite you to receive the blessing And now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, strengthen us and keep us always in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light into the world to conquer the darkness, water to give us new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. So we ask that you send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. And now, may our glorious God grant us a spirit of wisdom to know and to love the risen Lord Jesus, the God of life, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bless us and keep us now and forever. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Go in peace to share the good news. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Again, alleluia. Amen.